it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
A congressional seat from Wisconsin will be up for grabs this fall after a state representative announced that he's not going to be running for re-election.
And Milwaukee County officials want to remove a number of youths currently living at the Lincoln Hills Correctional Facility.
For the latest on those stories and more, we're joined by Robert Menser, a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network based in central Wisconsin. Robert, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
So on Monday of this week, U.S. Representative Reed Ribble from Northeast Wisconsin announced that he won't be running for re-election this fall. What's the story there?
Yeah, so that's the 8th congressional district. It includes Green Bay and Appleton, a lot of sort of Fox Valley, northeastern Wisconsin area. So that has set off a bit of a scramble in both parties to put forward good candidates. They see the open seat as a good opportunity. Before this, there was a Democratic challenger to Ribble who was a university professor named Ron Gruitt. And this week, it is suddenly an extremely popular race to consider getting into. So there are a long list of Republicans who have thought about, you know, so that they are thinking about throwing their hat in the ring, and several Democrats as well.
And before we get into those names, it sounds like this news kind of hit everybody by surprise.
Yeah, Ribble was sort of part of the Tea Party wave, but he was never really, he was not a guy who was extremely sort of connected with Republican leadership. He had been a businessman before he got into politics. He went in saying that he was only going to serve a few terms. Still, though, I don't think people expected that he would get out this year. He'd had some friction with party leaders. Like, even an example of this, he was the first, and I think the only member of Wisconsin's delegation to publicly come out and say that he would not support Donald Trump if Trump became the Republican nominee. And so it sort of felt like maybe he just wasn't really feeling the party politics. And I think that Republicans would have probably preferred to have him stick it out and retire in a midterm election. But they'll have to field a new candidate this year.
And what has Ribble said about why he's not running again?
So the usual things that you say. He wants to spend time with his family. He's getting on to retirement age. But you know, like I said, he was in this sort of Tea Party Freedom Caucus. He declared that he left that caucus, but he never really fit in with any groups in a certain way in Congress. And so I think he just wasn't feeling it.
All right, let's get to that list now. Who's throwing their hat into the ring and who's sort of thinking about it right now?
Sure. So here's what we know. State Senator Roger Roth, some people said, was a likely candidate. He declared that he will not seek this seat. He's a Republican state senator. He's out. So I think a lot of people think that Assembly Representative John Nygren, who's a leader on the state's budget committee, is a likely Republican who may run. He said he's considering running. But there's a whole bunch. Senator Frank Lassie, Representative Andre Jacques, sort of up and down that corridor. There are a number of Republicans who are, you know, at least potential people to take that on. On the Democratic side, the former Assembly Representative Penny Bernard Schaber said that she's considering it, and Outagamie County Executive Thomas Nelson, who used to be in the legislature, is also thinking about jumping in.
And I also saw at least one name that seems surprising, one of the owners of Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Door County.
Sure, I like that place. Why not?
So lots of different names. I guess we'll have to watch that one, see how it develops.
Yep, indeed.
And we're going to talk now about a group of lawmakers looking at changing the state's asset forfeiture law. What can you tell us about those changes?
So this is an interesting bill. This had a hearing this week in Madison, so we're definitely in the early stages. It hasn't passed out of committee, much less gotten a full vote. But it's an interesting initiative, and certainly it's worth watching. So this is a practice that, to some degree, has been increasingly in the public eye. Following there was a long story in the New Yorker about this a couple years ago, and through some activism. What it is there are a lot of situations where police see seize stuff, take stuff from people in the course of an investigation. So that could be, a suitcase full of drug money or a drug dealer's car that they're using to deliver heroin. The police departments might take that in the course of the investigation, and that is sort of understandable, and that's how it's supposed to work. If that stuff is gotten illegally, you wouldn't really expect for then the state to then sort of give back that suitcase full of drug money. But what if that person's never convicted, or what if the police just had it wrong and that this stuff wasn't illegally gotten? There are actually a lot of cases, and it's been documented, it's not just in Wisconsin, it's all over the country, where police don't need to give that stuff back, even if there's no charges ever filed. In a lot of cases, police departments are allowed, and this is true in Wisconsin, to use assets that they've seized for their own budget, to fund their own budget. So people argue, and you can understand why, there's an incentive there to take more stuff, and there's a movement now. This is a bill sponsored by a Republican state senator, but it's quite bipartisan, at least in this early stage, that would redirect some of that funds to those funds to a different budget to remove that incentive, and would require a conviction before the state is allowed to permanently seize those assets.
So where is this one in the process, and what's going to be next for it?
So it's way early. It would have to pass out of committee. There was the hearing did indicate what the sort of the shape of the debate will be if it does go forward in this committee. And there were representatives of law enforcement saying that this would have a fiscal impact, which it would. I mean, there are a lot of law enforcement departments that this is like a regular and expected part of their budget, and they might fund a drug unit or something. So they argue that you can't take away these funds. They need them to operate, and it will I think it'll be a challenge for lawmakers to overcome that argument. But some states have done it. It has happened, and there's sort of an interesting kind of right-left alliance. So it will be something to see if it gets some support behind it.
We're catching up on the biggest stories out of Wisconsin right now with Robert Menser, storytelling editor for USA Today Network based in central Wisconsin. And Robert, we're going to check in right now on Lincoln Hills. We've been watching this developing story at the youth facility there, allegations of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, all kinds of things. Where are we on that? What's the latest?
Sure. Well, probably there were a couple pieces of news this week. Probably, perhaps the most significant is the Milwaukee County Board reacted to these sort of ongoing problems in the probe at Lincoln Hill by advancing a proposal that would actually pull out 170 youth who are at the facility. The facility, of course, is in Lincoln County, Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin. They would take 170 youth who are from the Milwaukee area and transfer them to a secure detention center in Milwaukee County. So it's just a first step toward that. But if it went forward, that would reshape everything about Lincoln Hills. Those 170 kids turn out to be 70% of the youth who are at Lincoln Hills. So it would definitely change what type of institution they have up there.
And does Milwaukee County have the capacity to absorb those youth who might be coming in?
They do not. They voted. There is a secure detention center that can hold people for about half a year, and there is a vote to expand that capacity. It also, it's tremendously expensive. It is worth saying there needs to be sort of counselors and mental health services besides just sort of guards and the type of sort of prison staff that you expect. They need programs as well for these juveniles. So this is a vote to this is a first step toward clearing that space and making sure that they have the capacity for that. But I think it's fair to say that it's quite a long road before they would be able to complete that transition.
And in terms of the investigation in general, where is that?
So, and a piece of news this week, there was one specific instance of alleged abuse, but it was one of the more shocking ones, where there was a child whose arm or wrist was broken in custody, and there was some new information reported this week that the staffer who was involved in that specific incident, Kyle Hoff, had been cleared of wrongdoing by, I guess, now two separate probes. He's not the subject of ongoing investigations. So they said that happened while a juvenile was taking off a pair of handcuffs. It looks like it wasn't maybe handled the right way. He was never put on administrative leave, as the institution is supposedly should. But that was a case where, in that at least this one specific instance, it doesn't appear that there's going to be any criminal charges out of that.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much.
That was news editor Robert Menser helping us recap the biggest news stories from around the state of Wisconsin this week.